All right, morning. Let's try to finish the fifth parak of Menachos today. Today's daf is daf Samach Gimel and Menachos. We're back in Samach Beis. And we have spent a couple days talking about the mitzvah of Tenufa. By certain karbanos, Zivchei Sham Yachid, Zivchei Sham Tzibor, there's a mitzvah of Tenufa. Tenufa requires a waving of the of either the animal while it's alive or parts of the animal, depending on what kind of carbon it is. And yesterday we quoted a couple of opinions in the Gemara in terms of what is the significance of Tenufa, what does Tenufa represent. So the Gemara back on Samach Beis Amad Aleph offered us two positions. One was in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, is that you bring it to Molech Umevi back and forth, the Lemi Arucho Shalom, Mala Morid, up and down, Lemisha Shamayim Va'arit Shalom, meaning it reminds you of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It points you into the position of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Eretz Yisrael, they quote, in the name of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, it's to stop the Ruchos Ros, to stop the bad winds, and Kedei La'atzo Talalim Ra'im, in order to stop the bad rains. I quoted Tosfos yesterday. Tosfos explained to us that that this kind of Tenufa that's done specifically with the Shtei Alechem, and as the Gemara also mentioned at the end of yesterday's daf, the same thing is true by Lulav. So that's a specific din. That's a specific din in those particular scenarios, because those are the times when Kadosh Baruch Hu judges us over the rain and over the wind. Other times of the year when we do a regular Tenufa, so we don't necessarily follow in this format, and that's how we ended off yesterday discussing basically two different types of Tenufa: a more complex Tenufa that's done on Shavuos and on Sukkos. Shavuos with your Shtei Alechem, Sukkos with your Lulav, right? Because those are the times that are auspicious for more Tenufa as opposed to the regular Tenufa. It could be, by the way, according to Tosfos, just one last point on this, could be then, according to Tosfos, then, that you have the two explanations of the Gemara may not be arguing with one another. Meaning in the Gemara you have Rav Yochanan, and then you have a position quoted in Rav Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, could be that they're just describing the two different levels of Tenufa. The special Tenufa that's done in Shavuos and Sukkos, and then the standard Tenufa that's done year-round. Okay, so that could very well be. Tanur Rabbanan, seven lines from the bottom of the page. We're continuing. We're on Samach Beis Amad Aleph. Zivchei Shal Mitzibor Teunin Tenufa. Okay, so your communal Shal Mitzibor, and I told you that's only one. It's only the Shtei Alechem. That's the only communal Shal Mitzibor that there is. The only communal Shlamim that there is. So Zivchei Shal Mitzibor Teunin Tenufa La'achar Shechita UTenufa San Kamo Shehein Divrei Rabbi. And how do you do the Tenufa? So Rabbi says, do a Tenufa after it's dead with the whole body of the animal. Okay, unprecedented. No, we don't have that anywhere else. We're doing Tenufa with the whole body of the animal. By alive, yes. We do find it while it's alive, but after it's dead, we don't find Tenufa. Right. Right. No, but right, but by alive, you do Tenufa, and over here, according to Rebbe, you still do it even after it's dead. So the Chachamim Omrim v'Chaz v'Shok, and the Chachamim say no Chaz v'Shok. You do it with the breast of the animal and the shok and the leg of the animal, which is what you normally do with a regular shlamim. Okay, good. Machlokus between Tanayim. But my Kamiflu, the Gemara now wants to know. Let's give a pshat in the Machlokus. Amalei Rav Chista. L'Rav Hamnun v'Amri L'Rav Hamnun L'Rav Chista b'Domina Amina b'Domina v'Uka b'Asra Kamifulgi. Classic machlokas in the Gemara. We've seen this come up time and again. The issue of Domina or Domina v'Uka b'Asra. Now, basically, it goes like this. I'll give a quick overview of what's going to happen in the Gemara, and then we'll see it inside the Gemara. Domina Mina means that when we make a limud from one place to another, so regardless of where we're learning to the drasha towards, wherever we're going to go, we're just going to basically plow our way through with the drasha and take it to its conclusion, even though it doesn't really fit in the context of where it belongs. Don mina umina means judge it and keep going, right? It's like a bulldozer, if you will. Right? Don mina vuka ba'asra is a little gentler. Don mina vuka ba'asra means make a limud from point A to point B, but then fit it in contextually. Meaning make sure that it fits in the context that you placed it in. Okay, so let's see. So, Rabban Sarve Domina Omina, So the Chachamim are the bulldozers in my really poor analogy. But domina omina. Maz divchei sham yachid tunin tenu falach ha-shechita. Av divchei sham etzir bor tunin tenu falach ha-shechita. Now, according to the Chachamim, right, we're going to start with the Chachamim. Domina omina tells us that, look, I know by the sham yachid I need to do tenufa after the animal's dead. And by sham etzir bor, same thing. It's a shlamim. So do tenufa after the animal's dead. Umina, but don't stop. Keep going. Mahasam bechaz v'shok, av hachanami bechaz v'shok. And the Chachamim say, okay, chaz v'shok. Right? That's what you do by Shama Yachid. That's what you're going to do by Shama Tzibor. Now, as I'm going to explain in a moment, that doesn't fit contextually. It doesn't fit into the Shama Tzibor. You may not understand yet. I'll explain in just a moment why it doesn't fit. But according to the Chachamim, it doesn't have to fit. Don mina mina means whatever we had by point A. Point A in our discussion is Shama Yachid, the individual Shlamim. So there, the Tanufa goes on the Chaz V'Shok, on the certain cuts of meat. So by Shama Tzibor, it's the same thing. And it doesn't fit, and that's okay. Don mina mina. Rebbe Sava, don mina v'uka basra. And Rebbe says, no, don mina v'uka basra. It's got to fit. It's got to fit contextually into where you're learning it from. Yes, you're going to do tenufa on the Shama Tzibor. And yes, you're going to do it after the Shama Tzibor is dead, as you did by the Shama Yachid. But don't just simply say, oh, Shama Yachid, we did Chaz V'Shok. Shama Tzibor, we got to do Chaz V'Shok. It doesn't work that way, according to Rebbe. Why? Because Mazdev Chaziv Chay Shama Yachid tunin tenufa l'achar shechita, Avziv Chay Shama Tzibor tunin tenufa l'achar shechita, v'uke ba'asra. But now stop. Uke means to set it. Set it be'asra in its right place. Meaning give it some context. Hasam hu dechazav eshok avahacha kamo shehen. Kamo shehen b'chayim. Over there, it's a chazav eshok. Here, you do kamo shehen b'chayim like they were alive.
Yeah, but what
does he get of that?
What does he get
of that? Right. So I think I'm just... Is it good? Yeah, the Gemara is going to explain.
Oh.
Okay. No, the Gemara doesn't explain. I thought the Gemara does.
The fact that one is Shalma
Yachid
as opposed to
Shalma Tzibor,
wouldn't that
Make
it obviate that sort of.
No, because what I was about to offer is what Rav Papa says. So no. So I thought what I'm going to say is wrong, so I'm not going to say it. So the Shazik Shitza Tunufa Khashiv Ukabasra Hasmu de Khaz Vishok Vahaka Kamoshahin Kamoshahin Bachayin. Rashi's Shleiman. Right? Shleiman. Shleiman means it's got to be whole, it's got to be the whole body. Right? And why? I mean, the simple pshat of the Gemara is because the animal's not going to get cut up into pieces. Meaning, as opposed to a shlamim is going to get dissected. Right? Some of it's going to get, not dissected, but bisected. Right? Some of it's going to go to the kohanim, some of it's going to go to the owner. So you wave the piece like it's going to go to the kohanim. Here, by this particular shlamim, it's not really going to get cut up into pieces. The whole thing is going to go. Okay. Although what I just said is pretty similar to what Rav Papa is about to say, so I'm not so convinced I'm 100% correct. Top of the next Amud, Samach Beis Amud Beis, Rav Papa Amud Dekuli Amud Omina Omina. Rav Papa says no. From a mechanical standpoint, from a Jewish standpoint, everyone subscribes to the viewpoint of Domina Omina. Behind the time of the Rebbe, ki hasam ha'asam davar shematan as l'kohen, avhacha davar shematan l'kohen. This is basically what I wanted to say previously. The whole thing is going to the Kohen, so therefore do tenuf on the whole thing. So, and Chachamim say no, meaning domina omina tells us that by the Shalmei Tzibor I did Chaz V'Shok, here also I'm going to do Chaz V'Shok. Ravina amar dekuli amar domina vuka basra, and Ravina goes the other direction. He says everyone subscribes to the viewpoint of domina vuka basra. Meaning you like to fit things into context. V'hainu tamid derabanan, shalmehem ribui yehi. That the shalmehem is a ribui, it comes to include, and the inclusion that it comes to bring in is the shalmei tzibor as well. Meaning, We'd like to stick things in contextually. We'd like to. But the Rebbe comes to tell us that under these circumstances, you treat the Shal Mitzvibor just like the Shal Miyachid. Shal Miyachid, the Tanufa goes on Chaz V'Shok. Shal Mitzvibor, Tanufa goes on Chaz V'Shok. Okay. Next. Rabbi Shimon Omer Shlosha Minim to Unim Shalosh Mitzvos. Shem B'chol Achas. Shem B'chol Echad. Ushlishes Ein Bahem. Okay? Three different types of karbanos. Three processes that are done to the three different types of karbanos, but not three for all of them. It's like a pool of three, of which two apply to each one of the three, one is left out. Okay? Somewhat complex way to remember something, but this is Rabbi Shimon's way of organizing the information. So, carbon number one that we're going to be discussing for Rabbi Shimon, this is all a quote from the Mishnah. We saw all this in the Mishnah. So, number one is Zivchei Shami Yachid, right? Regular Shlamim, let's say. Zivchei Shami Tzibor, Shtei Halachem, and Asher Mitzorah. And the ashram that's brought by the mitzvah. Now, zivchei shamayachin to nesmicha chaim to utenufa shchutim. Now, by a regular shlamim brought by an individual. So, which of the three are performed? Smicha and tenufa post mortem. And we'll add to that now because we just finished the Gemara. The tenufa is only going on the chaz of a shok. The ein behem tenufa chaim, but not tenufa while the animal's alive. Zivchei shamay tzibor d'shtei halechem. So to netrufa chaim u'shchutim ve'ein b'hem smicha, no smicha. Okay, it's communal, right? We rarely do smicha on a communal offering. Anyone can think of a communal offering in which we do smicha?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yom Kippur.
Perfect. That's one. You got one of the two. There are two of them out there.
When they make a mistake,
as a community,
they make a mistake.
No,
Meluim. The right halachic decision by all community, that's fine.
Right, Parhelm Dover. You got two.
And Meluim, you wouldn't.
I don't know. Meluim, I'm not sure how to categorize it. And it's a one time thing also, so. Okay, only two communal karbanos require smicha. So the Gemara says, Tenufa chaim mishkutim ve'ein b'am smicha. So here, the Shtei Alechem fits into the general rule that no smicha is done. It's a communal offering, so no smicha is done. Asham mitzora. By the way, those two examples that Ben gave, those are kapara, communal kaparas, right. Meaning on Yom Kippur that's a communal kapara, so therefore you do smicha. And the parhelam davar obviously is a communal kapara. The majority of the Jewish people sin, so therefore you do smicha on that as well. Most of the communal offerings, although there is a chatas brought monthly. Rosh Chodesh, there's a chatas brought every yontif. Okay, for reasons which I don't have an explanation for, smicha is not done on those. I don't have an explanation as to why. But anyway, okay. Shtei alechem certainly is not a kapara. Let's make this as clear as possible. It's brought in conjunction with the shlamim. So if anything, you give it more of a shlamim status. No smicha is done on the shtei alechem. Two tenufas are done. A tenufa while the animals are alive, and a tenufa after the animals died. Machlok is rabbi in the chachamim, whether after the animals died, you do it on the whole animal, like it was alive, or on the just the chaziv ishok, and we just discussed what the basis of the machlokus is. Asha mitzora, finally number three. So in other words, now we have a third karbon. So, right, if you have all this mapped out in your head, it's a graph of three karbonos and three mitzvahs to do. So now we're basically going to take two of the three and apply it to one, apply it to two, and apply it to a third, and there's no matching. So by process of elimination, if you got all this mapped out in your head, it'd be nice if I mapped it on the board, but I got to run. Asher Mitzorah Talon Smicha Tenufa Chai. So your Asher Mitzorah requires Smicha and Tenufa while it's alive, while the animal's alive. The aim, by the way, the Tenufa is done together with the oil. Okay, the ain bo tenufa shachar, but not tenufa after the animal's died. After the animal's been shechted, I should say. Okay, that is all Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon's organization of the information. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to throw up a number of havamin, there's a number of possible kavachomers. Okay, nothing's going to stick. Okay, right. This is really the laboratory. It's shorted. It's going to just take us to the bottom of the Amud. It's the laboratory of the Gemara. The Gemara now is going to try a couple of drushas, a couple of kavachomers, you know, see if anything sticks, right? You and I both know it's not going to stick. Meaning, the halacha is the halacha, but using your classic limudim, can we try to get maybe another tenufa, another smicha in a place where it, frankly speaking, is, does not happen. But
is smicha done on the sorry one as well?
Yeah.
Oh, it's on both.
It's on both.
Do you have to do anything that does three, all three?
That's all three. Not all three. So let's try this one. Let's say that your regular shlamim, individual shlamim, should have tenufa while it's alive, and we'll base it on a kavachom. Look, the zivchei sham etzibur, the communal, doesn't have smicha. And yet you do tenufa while it's alive. Zivchei sham yachid shetunim smicha. The individual yachid where there is smicha, ain't din shetunim tenufa. So if it has smicha where the communal one doesn't, so you see it's more chamor. So let's apply the rule of tenufa even while it's alive. So it is a good kavachomer, meaning the kavachomer is good, but miyat rechmana gabit zivchei sham etzibur osam. Osam lamute zivchei sham yachid. So the Gemara says it's based on a drasha. The word osam is a miyut, it's a limitation. It tells us that the din of tenufas chayim only is for the sham etzibur, not the sham yachid. Next, we use zivchei sham etzibur to unim smicha. Let's try it this way. Let's say that the sham etzibur should require smicha mikavachomer, and we'll use a kavachomer. And again, the kavachomers are all going to sound the same, because basically, you see here there are two mitzvahs that are. There's one mitzvah that's required. Here there's no particular mitzvah required. There is a mitzvah required. Right, B is more chomer than A, so therefore we should apply the rule of A to B. Right, kavachomer. So the just like the shama yachid, which does not require tenufa while the animal's alive, does require smicha. Zivchei shama tzibur now will extend it to the communal. Sheteunin tenufa chayim, you do tenufa while the animal's alive. Ainu din sheteunin smicha, so therefore should require smicha as well. So again, simple kavachomer, which would result in smicha by the communal shtei alechem. Not the bread, by the way, by the kivsei atzeres. Amravina gemiri shtei smichos bitzibor. So Ravina says, no, we have a tradition. Right? Gemiri here probably means halacha moshe mitzinai. Right? Rashi says it. Right? It's halacha moshe mitzinai that there are only two smichos when it comes to tzibor. Okay? And now we could say it because we did already. What are the two communal karbanos that require smicha? So Rashi brings down over here. We said it. Parhal davashel tzibor. Pasuk says v'samchu ziknei ha'eda and sira mishtaleach. The pasuk says v'samach aron et shtei yadav. That's it. Those are the only two communal offerings that require smicha. Why doesn't the chatas of Rosh Chodesh, the chatas of Yantif, their communal karbanos, why don't they require smicha? I don't have a suggestion. Okay, so offer one if you have one.
So it's Par Halim Dover and the other is?
And the other one is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, and that's it. The Hey Asha Mitzara Town Tenufa. So now the Gemara is going to go one more Havamina / Kalvachomer into this discussion. Asha Mitzara should require Tenufa Shachar. Do tenufa while the animal's dead, mikavachomer. And again, we'll use a simple kavachomer. Mazif chesham yachid, regular individual shlamim. Shein tunin tenufa chayim. Tunin tenufa shchutim. Right, you do tenufa after the animal's dead, even though you don't do tenufa while the animal's alive. Asher mitzorah shetan tenufa chay. So by the asher mitzorah, where you do tenufa while the animal's alive, ain odin shetan tenufa shachut. So shouldn't you have to do tenufa while the animal's dead as well? Again, a drasha. The oso mentioned by the shama yachid tells us that no, only that one is where you do tenufa after the animal's dead. Tanu Rabbanan, finishing up. Chamisha sheheviu karban echad meinif al yidei kulam. You have five people bring a karban. Five people bringing a karban. Partnership in a karban. Carbon does not have to be brought by an individual. Carbon can be brought by a group of people. You can have a corporation. Corporation is not the right word, but you can have shares. You can have shares in a partnerships in a carbon. That's fine. In terms of tenufa, one will do it on behalf of all of them. The ha'isha. Now, if a woman brings a carbon, kohen meinif al yada, the kohen does it for her. V'chein asholeh karbanos mimedinas hayam kohen meinif al yado. Similarly, if you have karbanos that are brought overseas and the owner is not here, so the kohen is meinif al yado, does it for the individual, for the owner. Okay, that is the Gemara over here. Lots to discuss. Tosfos over here raises an issue about assumption of the owner still being alive. Okay.
Rabbi, why do they put so much attention on five? And then six will be like communal?
No. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't have an answer. I don't know why they chose the number five.
The only partnership that can exist in carbon is carbon shalom, right? Other carbon you can have.
No, partners. Ola. We could partner for a carbon Ola.
How about a carbon replacement?
Chatas, we can't partner.
Toda
also, I don't think you can partner for Toda. But certainly Chatas, you can't partner.
And Tenufa is done by the person themselves?
Yes. Generally speaking, Tenufa is done by the person themselves. The Gemara previously said that it's done in conjunction with the Kohen. We talked about having both hands on the carbon for Tenufa, but Tosos earlier quoted the opinion of Rashi, which we don't have, which says that fundamentally speaking, it's really the owner's mitzvah to do tenufa.
So if that's the case, and also there was a discussion of putting the hand there.
Right, that was by the sota. That was specifically by the sota. The sota requires both. The Torah there says that she needs to do tenufa, the kohen as well. Okay.
And
all right. Yeah, no tenufa by carbon pesach. It's shamayachid. Shamayachid/shamitzibor. Okay, moving on. We are in Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. We are at the
tenufa. Where is it performed? Because if the woman,
by the sota, right? She'll come. I guess she would walk into the
Azara.
To the azara. Well, the first 11 amos. Unsure. Okay, we start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah is on the top of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. Sorry. HaOmer Hare Alai B'machavas. Lo Yavi B'machashes. B'machashes Lo Yavi B'machavas. Okay? In the beginning of the discussion of Menachos, so the Torah describes different types of Menachos. We've gone over this already a number of times, but that's why we're learning Menachos, so we could go over it again. Eventually it sinks in. This is something I promise. So in the beginning of Perek Beis, it says V'nefesh ki sakriv karban mincha l'Hashem solus yeh karbano v'yatzak l'Hashem v'nasan ala levona. So the first type of mincha that's being described in Perek Beis is a mincha solus. It's fine flour. Okay, Torah doesn't give much of a description in terms of how it's prepared, right? What type of instrument is used to bake it, fry it, so forth and so on. But that's just simply a mincha solus. Okay, then the Torah goes into another type of mincha. Fast forward, and we are in Pasuk Dalet. This is all Perek Beis. V'chisakriv karban mincha ma'afet tanur. Then you're going to offer a mincha if a person would like to offer. Right? Remember, each one of these is its own separate mincha. Right? They're not all five part of one whole mincha, although the Gemara entertains such a havamina, but it's not the case. There are different types of menachos. Sorry. V'chisakriv karban mincha ma'afes anor solas chalos matzos bulos b'shemen urikike matzos meshurchen b'shemen. Okay, this is going to be a big part of today's discussion in the Gemara, where the Torah describes two different types of menachos. Either chalos matzos bululos b'shemen, loaves, although we say chala, I know we think of the stuff that we eat on Friday night. That is fermented bread. That's chametz, right? That's not what the Torah here is describing. The Torah uses the word chalos, but we'll call them loaves. Chalos, matzos, belulos, b'shemen, or, now I said the word or, the Torah doesn't say that. The vav could mean or, the vav could mean and. It's a little bit of ambiguous, and you'll see that ambiguity will reflect itself in today's daf. Or a kike, matzos, meshuchen, b'shemen, or thin wafers. So your mafetano, your oven baked mincha, the Torah describes in two different types, either the chalos or the rekikin. Okay, put that on the back burner. Okay, almost literally, and we'll come back to that in just a moment. Next, minchas aha machavas karbanecha. What if he wants to bring a machava? So solus beluah b'shem and matzah tiyeh. So it is, it's going to be matzah. Pasososo pitim v'yatzak dala Hashem and mincha hi. Break it up into pieces. And then finally, in minchas marcheshes karbanecha. And if the person wants to bring a marcheshes, so solus b'shem and tatzah. Be'vesos mincha asher yaseh me'elo la'Hashem v'kriva el ha'kohen v'gishar el ha'mizbeach. Sorry about the cough. It'll go away. I promise. Well, I don't promise, but I ask Hashem to help. Yeah, with Hashem's help. Okay. If you count it up, so we start, we have fine flour, we have a mafet tanor, which is really divided into two different types of mafet tanor, chalos or rekikin, so that brings us up to number three different types so far of menachos. The machavas and the marcheshes. Okay? Those are five different types of menachos. These are all individual. These are all voluntary. A person just simply wants to bring any one of these type of five. Dr. Zaghi asked me a couple days ago, how does a person know which one to bring? So today, the Gemara is going to allude to an answer, although I'm not sure if the Gemara is not... Whatever, you'll see. Perhaps today's Gemara will point to a particular answer. But this is not, just keep in mind also another general point. These menachos are not brought as a response to anything specifically. Meaning these are nedavas. These are just simply voluntary offerings. The person just simply feels that he wants to bring it. It's really no different than an ola or a shlamim. A voluntary ola or voluntary shlamim. Just, you know, I want to bring a karban. I want to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to bring a karban. So there's nuance. There has to be. Otherwise, the Torah wouldn't give five different types. There's obviously distinctions and nuance and the difference between these, although I don't know if I can express what that nuance is.
Doesn't specify which one. So
right.
There's no hava amina, you should bring all five?
There is. The Gemara did have a hava amina. The Gemara learned it. I'll tell you where the Gemara said. It's if the Havesa Samincha Asher Yasa Me'ela. Me'ela, the Gemara says, that teaches us that it's one of the five. Right.
Wasn't it usually brought by a poorer person?
Well, right. In other words, it was it's certainly correct. It's a less expensive carbon, and so the poor person would bring it. But not necessarily, it's not limited to a poor person. You could be wealthy and bring it. Ha'omer, so we start with the Mishnah, we're on the top of Samach Gimel and Aleph. Okay. And the Mishnah says, "Omar Eilayim b'machavas lo yavi b'marcheshes." So if you say machavas, you can't bring b'marcheshes because you specify.
Right.
Similarly, b'marcheshes lo yavi b'machas. I'm sorry, b'machavas. Now I carefully made sure so far not to explain what the difference is between marcheshes and machavas. Now you've heard me say in the past, marcheshes is deep dish and machavas is a thin pan. Now you've heard me say that a lot of times. It's not agreed to by everyone. That is the halacha. That is, but you'll see in the Mishnah, the Mishnah brings down a simple machlokas. Ma bein machvas o macheshes, macheshes v'yesha kisui, machvas en la kisui, div Rav Yossi Aglili. According to Rav Yossi Aglili, the only difference between the two is a cover. That's it. A macheshes has a cover, right? He doesn't, according to Rav Yossi Aglili, I do not know. Is it deep dish? Is it a thin pan? I don't know. Right? But the only difference is a cover. That is the opinion of Rav Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer Marcheshes Amuka Maaseh Rochshin Machvat Safa Umaaseh Kashin. And Rabbi Yossi Aglili says no, it has to do with the depth of the pan. Excuse me, Marcheshes is deep, right? It is soft and deep, and the Machavas is a thin pan. Okay, and it therefore comes out flat and crispy. The Gemara starts off, my time of the Rav Yossi. So
this is this actually are prepared in the Ezra?
Yeah.
It's not prepared outside and bringing it in.
Right.
The person is not doing it himself.
No, the Kohen is the baker.
So he chooses what?
He chooses which one, and
it would be interesting, the reason why he chooses, because he's not involved in any case.
Okay, so let's see. My time of the Rav Yossi. Ilema, and he doesn't eat it, by the way, also.
He doesn't eat it.
He doesn't eat it, correct. My time at the Rav Yosi Ilema Mar Cheshes De Asya Arechushe Halev. So I told you now, the Gemara is going to allude to the idea that they come as a response to something. Meaning, you're right, the words themselves point to perhaps a particular flaw in his personality, something that he would like to correct, and so therefore the mincha, the bringing of the mincha, facilitates and assists him in terms of correcting. And the Gemara now is assuming that this is exactly the difference in Rav Yossi's machvas versus marcheshes. Meaning, the word itself, according to Rav Yosi, has nothing to do with the pan. It has to do with what the carbon is coming to help me rectify. So, I'll look at the word rachash, and the Gemara says, rechushe halev. Right? The movement of the heart. Now, to my cardiologist here in the front, it does not... It's not referring to a biological movement of the heart. It's referring to, as Rashi explains, hear her him. Right, he's got thoughts.
Thoughts, right.
Elicits thoughts that occupy his time. Mm-hmm. He would like to mend, he would like to correct, he would like to rectify. And that's why he brings the marcheshes. And the cover on the top signifies a heart. Because a heart is something which is hidden. It's not something that people can see. So that's why he would bring the marcheshes. Kedichsiv rachash libi devatov. Pasuk in Tehillim. And the machvas comes from the movement of the lips. Rashi points out that when we describe the movement of the lips, we say niv. Niv tfasayim. So that doesn't give us a whole lot, meaning it's nun yud beis. Over here, machvas, there's a mem, there's a beis. Okay, it's a little tenuous in terms of the connection, but...
He brings it before or after he fixes his character?
No. It helps him. It helps him fix the characteristic. Now here the Gemara does not have a pasuk that it could quote that connects the word machavas to your speech, but there's an expression, menabech nevuchi. Now, expressions, common expressions that were said by people, right, expressions don't just simply materialize. Expressions are rooted. And the Gemara's assumption is that this expression of menabech nevuchi, which is... a reference to a person's speech, so that is why the machvas is brought, to help him rectify. He's got speech issues, right? Rashi makes a suggestion. Maybe he's a rochel, rechilus, right? He likes gossip. So ema ipcha. The Gemara says, okay, but and by the way, let me just finish the sentence and finish the thought. And the machvas, according to Rav Yossi, is uncovered, meaning everybody sees it, and your speech, right? That's exactly the point. People see it. People see what you're saying. I know here, but you understand. It's not concealed, it's revealed. So the Gemara says, not compelling. Meaning, if it's all based on the word, we could go the other direction. Oh, we have a pasuk that indicates that the word machavas is connected with something which is concealed. Lama nichbeitu levroach. Mi amar ami? Who said that to whom? Yeah, a number of Bale Kriya here in this room. Bale Kriya? Bale Kore?
What is that?
I'm not a Bale Kore. Yeah.
What does Laman say?
Laman said, why did you run away from me?
In the south of the night.
Right. Lama nichbeitu levroach. So you see the word machvas in here. It is certainly connected, right? The ches and the base. So lama nichbeis levroch and marcheshes de'asi arechushe kedami inche hava merachshan sifsa say. So the Gemara Chagiga tells us that when you say something b'shem omro, you quote somebody and the person's not alive anymore. So the Gemara says his lips are moving in the grave. Right? And you see the word marchush marachesh means to actually move in movement. So if it's just up to the word itself, the word could go in both directions. Where machvas could be talking about something hidden, and marcheshes could be something which is revealed. So it's not that. So that's why I said earlier, the Gemara alludes to the idea that they come in response to something, but in this etymology discussion, it could go either way. So Ela Gemara Gemirala. So the Gemara ends off with a very just halacha. This is it. He had a tradition. Rav Yossi Aglila had a tradition that machvas is uncovered, marcheshes is covered, and period, and nothing more to discuss about it. Okay, we don't follow like Rav Yossi Aglila. At least, what do I mean? We don't follow. We don't have menachas. But when when codifying, the Rambam goes with Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. Whenever we discuss Machvas and Marcheshes previously in the Gemara, we've usually assumed Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. The Gemara goes on to discuss Marcheshes Amuka Dichsiv v'chol Naaseh b'Marcheshes Machvas Tzafa Dichsiv v'al Machvas. Look carefully at the way that the Torah describes both. It's called Naaseh b'Marcheshes. The b' means in the Marcheshes, so that gives an indication of depth, as opposed to Machvas. Machvas it. Al machvas. It's on the pan. Tana Rabbanan.
In the Mishnah, it says, where he says, "Havei alai b'machvas."
Right. Yep. Yep. Well,
which
that's going to come.
Well, you'll see, because that right. That's going to come up right now. Tana Rabbanan. Beishamay omrim haomer aray alai marcheshes. Okay. Beishamay deals with the following scenario. Let's say a person makes a declaration, and his declaration went like this: Harei alai Marcheshes. I accept upon myself to bring to the Beis HaMikdash a Marcheshes. Okay. What does he mean? Okay, it could go one of two ways. It could either mean that he wants to bring a Mincha, the Minchas Marcheshes. That's one thing it could mean. Or, what's the other possibility? The actual pan itself. Maybe he's inclined to actually donate a dedicable. Right? People love dedicables. So maybe he wants to donate the actual Marcheshes itself. But he didn't express with clarity which one he meant. He just simply said, Harei Alai Marcheshes. So I know in all these discussions of ambiguous Nedarim, so just ask him. Go over to him and say, which one did you mean? And you know, and a lot of these Gemaras, especially these types of Gemaras, we want to know, the Gemara wants to know, if we stopped right there, what would happen? Meaning,
but
yes.
He doesn't know what he meant. It happens a lot.
Right. The Gemara says a number of times that a person when he makes some sort of pledge, he knows what he means. Right. We may not know what he means, but he knows what he means. So you could ask me the question. Why don't we just go ask him, and that would clarify, and then we wouldn't have this confusion. And you're right. You're absolutely right. But the Gemara just always, the Gemara does this very often. The Gemara wants to know, stop right there. What do we do with that? So, Yehimuna Chashiyavo Eliyahu. So, Beishamai says, nothing. It's teiku. Right? It's an unresolved suffix. Right? And the money's put aside, Chashiyavo Eliyahu, until Eliyahu comes and Eliyahu would clarify. Now, Eliyahu is going to clarify what he was thinking. Eliyahu is going to clarify what the halacha is. Okay, misafka lehu. But then now the Gemara goes over what is the safek? Ialshem kli nikru ialshem maaseim. Right, and the Gemara says exactly that. Meaning the safek is, was he talking about the kli? Was he talking about the maase, the action of making it? In other words, he was talking about the mincha. And Beis Hillel says no. If he says Harei Alai Marcheshes, and that's it, that's actually the name of the kli. It was Shema V'Domekim in Kalbus. It looks like a Kalbus. See Rashi, by the way. You're right. You always look at that funny picture in Rashi. Right, barrel of a gun. No, I'm the only one who sees that.
Okay.
Okay.
But doesn't the word kalbus come up in Sanhedrin with the Sreifa? They cry his mouth open with the kalbus.
Oh. With the same kufr?
I think it's the same thing, which means tongues.
Oh. Okay, very good. Very good. Right.
Old French.
Well, what's the French word?
I don't know.
Okay. I have two French people here. Okay. V'domek kemin kalbos amuk u'kishabatzek munach besoch v'domek kemin tapuche habartim. Now, again, picture would be worth more than 1,000 of my words, and I don't have a good visual of it anyway, so my words are not going to be helpful at all in terms of the Gemara trying to help us understand what the Marcheshes is. The point that Beis Hillel is making simply is that it is a kli. It is a kli, and the person says Harei Alai Marcheshes, he's dedicating a Marcheshes. Tapuche Abartim Ukamin Balute Hayavanim. Okay. Again, see, I don't know where to see, actual pictures of all this, but Va'omer V'chol Na'aseh Be'Marcheshes V'Al Machvas It's actually the name of the kli itself, and since it's the actual name of the kli itself, so therefore he has to bring a kli, not the actual mincha. Okay, good.
At the time of Mishkan, did they build these things?
I would assume so. I would assume so. Hare alai, good. Okay, that's part one. Part two. Hare alai bitanur. Okay, a person says, I want to bring bitanur, I want to bring in an oven. Okay, so again, I went over the five different types of menachos that are mentioned in Perek Beis. So we have now the tanur, the oven-baked mincha. Now, I told you already that even there, the Torah segregates into two different types, the chalos and the rekikim. So first and foremost, he says, I want to bring in a tanur. So you have to know one other piece of information in order to really appreciate the Mishnah. There were different types of ovens that they operated with. There's something called the tanur. In modern Hebrew, tanur is an oven. Okay, you go to Israel and you go into anyone's house and they point to the oven. And it's a tanur. Okay, but in the time of the Gemara and the Mishnah, and apparently even earlier, there were different types of ovens. There was something called a tanur. There was something called the kirayim, right? The Gemara and Shabbos, third parak over there, and there was something called the kupach. A kupach is a type of oven. It's smaller. Their ovens were really simple, right? Not like us, and we're so fancy nowadays. And their ovens were really simple. It was a box. And what you would do is either you would put the food in the box and allow it to bake inside, meaning put the coals on the bottom and put something inside. For bread, you know what they would do with the bread? They would paste the bread on the wall, and they would allow it to bake in the wall. Right, correct.
That's
Radia Sapas, very good. Very good. So that's what they would do with their ovens. And sometimes what they would do is they'd put a little grill on top and then they would put something on the grill. That's it. That was their oven back then. A kupach is a much smaller version, right? It holds the heat and it's really hot. Right, toaster oven, huh?
Portable,
and a tanur is slightly larger. So, the Mishnah's point, the first point is that when you say tanur, you mean tanur. It can't be kupach. So, arei alai tanur lo yabi maafe kupach. It can't be a kupach. It can't be baked in the smaller oven. Velo maafe re'afim. Can't be baked on tiles. They used to heat up tiles and bake on the tile themselves. You know, it doesn't sound like bake. It sounds more like fry, but they would take the dough and actually paste it to the tile. Umafe yoros aravim, and not in the Arab pots, right? again, I wish I could be more helpful in terms of describing it. I don't know. Rabbi Yehuda omer ratza maybe mafe kupach. Rabbi Yehuda does make an allowance. He says if you want to do mafe kupach, you want to bake it in the kupach as opposed to the tanur. He sounds like he's talking lashon b'dieved, right? You have fulfilled your obligation. Ratza maybe mafe kupach. I'm not sure about that. Hare alai minchas mafe lo yavi mechza chalos mechza rekikim. So the Tanakhama's position is that you got to choose. It's going to be 10 loaves. It's either all chalos or all rekikim. Not both. Rabbi Shimon matir bifnei mimnei shu karben echad. Rabbi Shimon says no, it could be both. Half and half. Half of them being chalos and half of them being rekikim. Tanu rabbanan. Okay, we'll finish. Yeah. We'll make a push to finish the parak. Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa, mafa tanur v'lo mafa kupach v'lo mafa rafim v'lo mafa yaros aravim. The brisa starts off word for word like our Mishnah. It has to be a tanur. Rabbi Yehuda omer tanur tanur shnei pa'amim l'hach she mafa kupach. Rabbi Yehuda says that if you look carefully at the psukim, you'll see in the psukim it says the word tanur twice. Right. It's not right. Now, because I was looking in, I'm in Perek Beis right now. It only mentions it once in Perek Beis, but it mentions it later. Parshat Tzav. Parshat Tzav is where the Torah goes over everything again. Right? Parshat Vayikra is like an overview. It's like a sketch, a thumbnail sketch. And then Perek Zion is a little more like hands-on, like how to actually do it. Right.
What are rekikim?
Rekikim are wafers, translated as wafers. So, okay. So it says the word tanur twice. So echa. This is all the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda.
Rekikim are fried.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
They're in oil.
Yeah, well, everything's in oil.
Everything's in oil.
Tanur, except for the lechem aponim, but and the sota and the minchas chote.
But they're fried and the other ones are baked.
All right, all these voluntary ones have oil.
What makes a wafer a wafer? Because they're going, it's not a chametz thing. So
right, it's fried immediately. Fried immediately. Just because it's oil and it doesn't mean it's going to be chametz.
So what is a wafer? It's just because it's thin.
It's thin. Tana Tana Shem Pam La Hakshem Afa Kupach Rabbi Shimon Omer Tana Tana Shem Pam Im Echad Shetei Afi Yasam Betanor Ve Echad Shetei Shehei Hekdei Shen Betanor. So the baking is in the tanor and the hekdei, the place where it receives kedusha saguf, is in the oven as well. The Gemara says, wait a second. Umi Yisrael Rabbi Shimon Haisvara. The Atanan, the Gemara says, wait, Rabbi Shimon Omer La Olam Havi Ragal Omer Shtei Alechem Alechem Apanim Ksheres Ba'azaru Ksheres Bebeis Pagi. By the Shtei Alechem and Alechem Apanim, you could do it in the Azara. You could do it outside of the Azara as well. What does that mean, outside the Azara as well? Meaning because, according to Rabbi Shimon, they're not imbued with Kedusha Saguf, even in the oven. Even in the oven. So if the oven would have imbued it with Kedusha Saguf, you can't take it out of the Azara. The Psul is the Psul of Yotzei. So Amarava Amashi Hei Hekte Shem Lushum Tanur. Oh, so the Gemara says, right, Rabbi Shimon, let's not make an inconsistency in Rabbi Shimon. Let's assume Rabbi Shimon is consistent. Let's assume that Rabbi Shimon does not maintain that an oven is makdish. When he says l'shem tanur, it means l'shem kedushas tanur, but it's going to be prepared in the oven, but not that the oven itself actually will imbue it with kedushas aguf. Harei alai minchas ma'afe lo yavi me'aksa tanur abanan. Here again, Braisa further clarifying the machlech, not clarifying, but explaining, expounding what is the basis of the Tanakhama versus Rabbi Shimon. V'chi sakriv kishetakriv lasos davar rishos karban mincha am Rav Yehuda minayin la'omer harei alai minchas ma'afe shalo yavi mechza chalos mechza rekikin, not half chalos, half rekikin, either all chalos or all rekikin, tamalomer karban mincha, karban echad amarti lecha v'lo shnayim u'shlosha karbanos. It's one karban, meaning this ma'afe tanor is either going to be one or the other. Amalo Rabbi Shimon v'chi namar karban shnei pamim v'alolo namar ela karban echad v'namar bo chalos urikikin. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's one pasuk. This ma'afe tanor is all contained in one pasuk. And so rasa lahavi chalos maybe rikikin maybe mechza chalos maybe rikikin maybe. So Rabbi Shimon says you really have three options. You can either bring it all chalos, all rikikin, or a combination of the two. The kametz mishnehem, and you do kametzah from both. And kametz v'ala biyado me'echad al shnehem yatsa. And if kametzah is only done of one of the two, meaning there are five loaves of rikikin, there are five loaves of chalos. Now you break it up afterwards. You do the kametzah post baking. Okay, not all the time, by the way. The ma'afe tanur, you do it post baking. So really, you should have a representative sample. The kametzah should represent both the chalos and the rekikim, but if not, it's fine. And finally, Rav Yosi, son of Rav Yehuda, Omer minayin la Omer harei alai minchas ma'afet shelo yavi mechze chalos mechze rekikim tamalomer v'chol mincha asher teafet betanor v'chol naaseh b'mecheshes v'amachamas l'kohen ha'makriv aso lo tiyeh v'chol mincha b'lua b'shemen v'charev l'chol b'nei aron tiyeh ma v'chol ha'amor l'mata shnei minim chalukim. You go to the end of Perek Zion where the Torah there describes, basically gives a summary statement. The Gemara here quotes the entire two psukim. So it's each one is its own individual separate carbon mincha. So the ma'afe tanor is either going to be chalos or it's going to be rikikim, but not both. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Shapikam Rabbi Shimon. Now, as far as the Gemara is concerned, the Gemara first takes the position of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon sounds good, meaning that you look back in Perek Beis Pasuk Dalet, v'chisa kriv karban mincha mafet tanor solas chalos matzos belobus b'shemen or kike matzos meshuchem b'shemen. Sounds like you can have an option of having both. Amar lecha, Rabbi Yehuda's response would be, kaven d'ksiv b'shemen b'shemen. Well, no, because it says the words b'shemen twice in the Torah, in that pasuk. It says solos chalos matzos belulos. I'm sorry, solos chalos matzos belulos b'shemen, and it says rikike matzos meshuchin b'shemen. It says the word shemen twice. Keman dichsiv carbon dami. That shemen repeated twice is if it says the word carbon twice. Rabbi Shimon So now let's go back to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Iloksiv bashemen b'shemen hava minadavka mechzachal z'mechzarekikid. Rabbi Shimon says no, because had it not said the word bashemen twice, I would have thought you have to make a combination. It has to be both chalos and rikikin. Ava chalos l'chuda, rikikin l'chuda im alau. But maybe chalos by itself or rikikin by itself is not an option. Kamash malan. So the Gemara says, that's why Rabbi Shimon says, I need the word shemen repeated twice. Finally, Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda hainu avuam. Now, if you go over that braisa that we just did on the top of the Amud, you'll make the simple observation that Rabbi Yosi, son of Rabbi Yehuda, is repeating the same thing his father said. And so the Gemara wants to know, not that surprises us, that's fine, but when the braisa presents information, why would the braisa repeat it as if he's introducing a new opinion? It's the same opinion as his father. We know the braisas don't do that. Bryce's work with a theory of conservation, right? State the positions and state them in the shortest way possible and do it succinctly and don't repeat information. So the Gemara says, Ikemanahu di'avad. So the Gemara says, Bidi'avad. According to Rabbi Yehuda, who learns it out from Karban Echad, right? From the one reference of the word Karban. So Bidi'avad would be Kasher. But according to Rabbi Yossi, who learns it out from the summary statements in Parshat Tzav, where each one is treated as an individual carbon, that means that it has to be an individual carbon. It cannot be a combination package. Okay? Hadron alach kol amenachos. That is the end of the fifth perek. Okay, tomorrow we begin with the sixth perek of Menachos. Good stuff coming out.